Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Afghanistan, 2 years later, August of 2021. The return of Afghanistan in our imaginations requires a great deal of attention because so much has happened since then. The war in Europe has drawn all of the energy of the United States. And yet, there is a new article at Politico I highly recommend, focusing on one man, Zalman Khalilzad, who you will recall served the Bush administration ably and then served the Trump administration. Different jobs, sometimes ambassador to Afghanistan, sometimes ambassador to Iraq. But in the Trump administration, Khalilzad was the lead negotiator in Doha, Qatar, of what became the Taliban deal to withdraw. The U.S. and NATO forces were going to withdraw from Afghanistan in exchange for Bill Raggio and Hussein Haqqani joined me, my good colleagues, Bill of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Hussein of the Hudson Institute, to recall those 2 years or 3 years ago and what we now make of Mr. Khalilzad's representing himself as someone who's still keen on enforcing the deals of the so-called Taliban. The Afghanistan deal of the winter of 20. Bill, I start with you because you and I were speaking all those weeks. You and your colleagues were keen right away to say this is a bad deal. The Taliban are not keeping up to it. What did the Taliban not do that made the deal moot?
So one of the key components of the deal that the U.S. wanted was the provision for the Taliban not allowing foreign terrorist groups to operate on its soil. The other ones were the Taliban would negotiate in good faith with the Afghan government. The U.S. wanted to try to get the Taliban to respect the human rights, women's rights, but that was the Taliban kept that out. But the part that we focus on, because we focus on the terrorism part, but also the Afghan negotiations were important as well. The Taliban never intended to share power with the Afghan government. It said this in numerous public statements and its actions, we could see 2 years later, it doesn't have an inclusive government. The Taliban leadership that was its shadow government during its insurgency is its leadership today. There's not a single functionary from the old Afghan government. But again, back to the counterterrorism provision, the Taliban maintained that it would not prevent foreign terrorist groups from operating on its soil. We know Al-Qaeda is there today. They're operating training camps. They may not be launching attacks from Afghanistan today, but my concern with this, as always, is capacity. But the one obvious group that is the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, which we know there are thousands of fighters. Key leaders are based inside of Afghanistan, and they're maintaining an insurgency today, a violent insurgency within Pakistan. It's an ongoing problem. The Taliban maintains they're not there. The Taliban maintains there's no terror groups on its soil. So they lied about that prior to Doha. U.S. officials should have known it. After Doha was instituted, the U.S. and Afghan forces killed several key Al-Qaeda and movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, and numerous other regional terror groups were killed after the signing of the deal and after the U.S. withdraw. The Taliban continues to shelter these groups. And our biggest objection to all of this wasn't, it was that people thought they could trust the Taliban. You never should have trusted the Taliban to do key things. It was in bed with Al-Qaeda. The relationship was unbroken. This is something we documented numerous times at the Long War Journal. And we saw no indication of this happening. If I thought the Taliban was willing to have an inclusive government, respect women's rights and human rights, and break ties with terrorist groups, I'd have been all in on backing the Doha agreement. But the reality on the ground was something else. And, look, U.S. officials deluded themselves into believing that Doha was something that was enforceable. And if they didn't, you know, if they knew it was going to, that it wasn't enforceable, then it was really cynical. It was just used as an excuse to withdraw. Neither option is good. Either they didn't know or they knew and they were lying to us. You know, neither inspires confidence.
Mr. Ambassador, we were not in conversation at the time of the Doha deal in the winter of 2020. What were your thoughts then? And you know, Mr. Khalilzad, was that the best deal he could do?
It was a terrible deal, and I wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal, in Foreign Policy, in The Hill. In fact, I had an article in Foreign Policy titled "Don't Talk to the Don't Trust the Taliban." Long before the deal was reached, I made some of the same points that Bill made. I pointed out statements that the Taliban leadership made to its own people, and I'm a great believer in paying attention to what people tell their own people. You remember there was a time when everybody used to say that Yasser Arafat says one thing to the Palestinians and another to the Western audience. In the end, what was the real Yasser Arafat view? It was the one that he was sharing with his own people. So they were telling the people that, look, we are negotiating a deal so that the Americans can get out with minimum damage to themselves. This is a surrender deal. This is all about us returning back and establishing an Islamic government. The Afghan Republican government kept pointing that out too, but it was willful ignorance on the part of U.S. officials, because President Trump wanted to get out. As far as Mr. Khalilzad is concerned, look, I have known him for many years. I do believe that he is a man of great talent and ability. But in this particular instance, I think he went too far in pleasing his president by getting a deal according to the deadlines that the president gave him arbitrarily. I did not advise the president or the secretary of state about the pitfalls of that deal. Many of us were pointing out the pitfalls. Lastly, there was no agreement. Look, the Taliban have a worldview that is very different from the worldview of the rest of us. They believe in certain things. The reason why, for example, they can say with a straight face that we don't have any terrorists on our soil is because their definition of terrorism is very different. Anybody who attacks them is a terrorist. Everybody that they support is not a terrorist. It's a definitional issue. Similarly, when they said we will do everything to accommodate others, what they meant was, yeah, we will do everything, but this is everything. We tell everybody to behave like we want to behave, and if somebody doesn't, then they are out anyway. So, and then they did say that they wanted to create an Islamic government. They said that they will protect the rights of women as allowed by Islam. Again, who's Islam? Not Zalmay Khalilzad's, not the rest of the Muslim community of the world. It was their own definition. So to trust them was basically deliberate. It was a policy decision. It became worse by the way it was executed, but the deal was a poorly negotiated deal. It was a deal that was predicated on a lot of deliberate lies being accepted as statements of good intention.
Bill, moving to the Trump, the Biden administration, the deal was troubled in the Trump administration. The Biden administration comes into office, and in the spring and summer of 2021 makes it very clear that the U.S. is leaving by such and such a date. Initially, it was by September 11th. We know that the calendar sped up in those last weeks. At that point, the weakness of the deal, was it apparent, Bill? Was everybody in Washington aware that the Taliban had not lived up to the deal and therefore our need to get out was false?
Hey, John, before I address that, I want to add something to what Hussein had said about reading the Taliban's propaganda to their people, because he's absolutely right. This is what the Taliban said in 2016. The Islamic Emirate, which is what it calls its government, has not readily embraced this death and destruction for the sake of some silly ministerial posts or a share of the power. The Taliban was always telling us and telling its people that it wanted to dominate the political scene. And as far as your point, the truth was understandable the moment the Doha agreement was signed. But once the policy of leaving Afghanistan was put into motion, this began under the Obama administration. Remember, they negotiated with the Taliban and had the good sense to walk away because the Taliban wouldn't budge one inch on all of the things that the U.S. caved to under the Trump administration in the Doha deal. U.S. military was hunting members of Al-Qaeda, was hunting members of the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, the Turkestan Islamic Party. The moment the deal was signed, the Taliban was not going to negotiate with the Afghan government. It never did so in good faith. Any of those talks that occurred, it had the Taliban refused to directly negotiate with the Afghans. The Afghan government could send a representative, but what it was called was members of civil society. It was never direct negotiations with the Afghan government because and this is what the Taliban told us all along. U.S. officials, you know, I keep going back to this. Either they knew, either they didn't understand that the Taliban was lying to them, or they knew and they didn't care. And I think it was, for some people, it was, you know, they didn't understand. And for others, they knew. And it was just a cynical ploy to leave Afghanistan. The Biden, all of the facts were available under both the Trump administration and the Biden administration that the Taliban wouldn't live up to this deal and wasn't living up to this deal and still isn't to this day. Remember, we killed Zawahiri in Kabul in 2000, just over a year ago. And Al-Qaeda is running training camps again, safe houses. They have a media center operating inside of Afghanistan. This was always the case. The Taliban lied to U.S. officials pre-9/11, saying that they would contain Osama bin Laden. And then we got terror attacks at the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. And we got the U.S. coal. Then we got 9/11. And then we had more attacks emanating from Afghanistan afterwards. The Taliban, we just never should have trusted them. But in order to leave Afghanistan, we had to pretend to trust them.
Mr. Ambassador, the observations you made in 2020 are vindicated by events. Did you repeat those warnings in 2021 for the Biden administration, and did they heed your warnings?
So let me talk about my warnings going back even further. In 2012, and this is the title of the article in New York Times, you can Google it as we speak, it was "Don't Talk to the Taliban" under my name in the New York Times. And In it, I quoted Taliban doublespeak from the previous term. Madeleine Albright, who was Secretary of State at that time when the Taliban were in power in the 1990s, I ran into her and she said, "Wow, thanks for reminding all of us about the Taliban's doublespeak and the fact that they speak a very different language than us. Yes, we did this in the 1990s. We realized we couldn't get anywhere. And we're going to do the exercise again." But at least to the credit of the Obama administration, they heeded the warnings. And when things were, they tried to offer their own definitions during negotiations, which were secret at that time, when the Taliban didn't bite, the Obama administration backed off. The Trump administration was very well warned. Actually, if you remember, President Trump originally embraced a different policy, which he called his South Asia policy, in which there was a policy proposal that was made by two people, Lisa Curtis, who became a director in the White House, in the Trump White House, and myself. We wrote this paper, and originally, under General McMaster as National Security Advisor, that policy was admitted for 1 year, 2017 up to 2018, till Mr. Khalilzad was brought in. And then they just took a different track altogether. It all became about withdrawal, instead of ensuring future guarantees. And part of it was the belief that we no longer need to fight terrorism. We have the means. The terrorists don't have the means to attack the American homeland. The Biden administration was warned the same way. And some of us argued, I actually argued, that there is an opportunity for the Biden administration to get out of the Doha deal on grounds that the Taliban are not keeping their end of the bargain, that they should, the Biden administration should fully put its weight behind the Ghani administration. Look, America has supported many flawed governments in the past. Supporting another one for a short while trying to get rid of the insurgency problem may not have been such a bad deal. In any case, life was better for a lot of Afghans under the Republic than it is under the Taliban. But the administration not only didn't heed that, they kept Mr. Khalilzad on, who kept giving the impression that he was on the verge of a new implementation element of the deal till the last moment. Nothing was happening. On ground, the Taliban were moving into Kabul, and Mr. Khalilzad was showing greater hostility towards President Ghani's government, that was an American ally, than he was towards the Taliban.
Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, quickly to Pakistan and to ISIS when we come back. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.